Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. I want to take a moment today to break away from my usual line of discussion as it relates to ministry, the bishopric, the apostolic, and I want to deal with a subject matter that was one of the bishops of the Apostolic Communion of Churches asked me to touch on the book of Revelations. And so today I want to take time to touch on the book of Revelations. I'm not going to give an exhaustive study of the book of Revelations in these 30 minutes. There's no way I can do that in 30 minutes. I can hit it and run, and I can cover a few issues that a lot of people don't cover correctly and deal with those. So hopefully today we will say something that will bless you, something that will encourage you, something that will inspire you to go pick up your Bibles and read the book of Revelations and see what the Lord has to say in this particular book, the book of Revelations. Revelations is not a spooky book as many people would make it to be. The book of Revelations is a very interesting book because it tells us, as the scripture, what was, what is, and what is to come. It is a very interesting book. So if you got your Bibles, I would love for you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelations and go with us on this journey as we discuss for a few moments this morning. It's morning for me, but whatever time you're listening to it, we want to discuss the book of Revelations. It's not some churches in their lectionary usually do not cover the first 2 to 3 chapters of the book of Revelations. They read Revelations, but certain chapters they do not cover in their lectionary, which is interesting. The book of Revelations is filled with symbolism and allegory, and it's filled with figurative languages to discuss a biblical truth that is still applicable to today. And one of the things about Revelation, it's a book of prophecy. I know some of you only think prophecy deals with, oh, I see God going to bless you with a car. I see God going to bless you with a house. I see God going to do this and that for you. That may be a spear of prophecy, but one thing about prophecy is to foretell, not just to foretell your blessings that are going to happen in your life, but to foretell and to foretell about salvation's story and what God has planned for you and I, not just today, but yesterday and in the near future. So let's look at the book of Revelations for a few moments today, and hopefully we can shed some light on this book to help you understand it and maybe go home and pick up your Bibles and study it for yourself and see the mysteries of God that are wrapped up in this particular book that I think will bless you and encourage you and strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go, the book, Revelations. Let's look at it. How the book got its name. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, you'll notice that the words read, I'm reading from the King James Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That first verse is where we get the title of the book, Revelation. It comes from the Greek text, Apocalypticus Ioannem. And literally is the Apocalypse of John. The Apocalypse of John, or more specifically, the Apocalypse of Jesus Christus. The Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It usually is called Apocalypse of John because John is the one that the revelation is given to, Jesus gives the revelation to. And in some Bibles, it's called the Apocalypse or the Revelation of Jesus Christ because of the first verse. So you notice that what I just said. In some of your Bible, it says the revelation of John the Divine, because John is the one who receives this revelation from Jesus Christ. And in other Bibles, it is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ because of the first verse. Either way, the title Revelation comes from the first verse when it says, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus, to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his messenger, the word angel there, messenger, unto his servant John. So he gives this revelation to John. He gives it to John while he is on the isle called Patmos, on the Isle of Patmos. John began to bear witness that these things that he's writing in this book was given to him by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he began to write this book. So John writes this book based on the revelation that he has gotten from Jesus Christ. This book is dated in and around 96 A.D. Now, there are some scholars in the past 150 years who have begun to think that this book is supposed to be dated between 60 and 70 A.D. because of some references in the book that they say it refers to that time, because they believe that these temple references refers not to a temple that will be built in the future, but they believe that this refers to the temple of Herod that was built in that day. They also look at the kings in that particular that's mentioned. They think that some recent scholars date this from King Herod onward until you get forward to Nero. Now, I am not of the school of thought that Nero is the person being referenced in the book of Revelation. I have studied this book inside and out, and if you really look at it, this book tells you everything from when the church first started to when time will be consummated. Church first started, and then that's what I want to show you. I'm going to try to show you that I'm going to just run through it. I'm not going to be very detailed, but I'm going to run through it because we don't have enough time in 30 minutes to be detailed. And I'm going to run through this, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about the book of Revelation, so that I hope that, like I said, it will open your understanding and allow you to want to go back and say, this book is not a scary book, but this book is an interesting book, and I want to delve into this book so I can get in it and I can learn and I can see the revelation of God unfold for us today. Because whether you know it or not, we are living in the last days. And that's another subject in and of itself, this last days thing. We are living the last days. Saying that does not mean that time is going to be over with right now, because there's more to the last days than just saying we live in the last days. Because I remember I was in a church. This pastor was preaching, and he preached about it, but he made it seem like once the Antichrist sets his kingdom up, once this happened, that happened, then Jesus comes back and all that. But he missed a whole passage where it speaks that Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. Some people interpret that to be a amillennial thing where Christ reigns through the church for 1,000 years, but that's not what the scripture said. The scriptures say he reigns for 1,000 years, and after the 1,000 years, he unleashes the beast again and the beast again to deceive the nation, because salvation is not by what you see, it's what you hear, and by believing by faith. And so he released, deceive the nations, and after that, old heaven and old earth pass away, new heaven and new earth comes, and all of that. Want to say good morning. I'm looking at the computer again. I see Apostle Green popped in and joined us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Grace, peace, and good morning.
So let's look at the Revelation, the book of Revelations, and let's see what it says. Let's start again with the name of the book of Revelations. In the Greek, the Greek name of the book is where you get the word apocalypse from. Apocalypse. It's almost like a transliteration of the Greek word apocalyptus. I guess I pronounced it right. The word Revelation comes from the word apocalypse. The word apocalypse literally means an unveiling, a disclosure, or revelation. So then the first verse of the Bible It could say a unveiling of Jesus Christ, a disclosure of Jesus Christ, or a revelation of Jesus Christ. So basically, that's what the word apocalypse means, and that's where we get the title of the book Revelations from, is the word in Greek, apocalypse. And so here we have prophecies in the book of Revelation of prophetic events. And he says what was, what is, and what is to come. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. It said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Peace. Now, when it says Asia here, you have to understand this is not talking about all of the continent of Asia. Asia Minor, what eventually became to be called Turkey. To John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let me go down a little bit because I'm looking for something else here. And then let's look at this. I want to hit a few names, and we're going to hit again this thing about what was, what is, and what is to come. It says here, it says verse 7, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierce him, all kindred of earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. I am Alpha Omega. Now, I'm putting this out here for a reason, because a lot of times people say, well, the Bible never says that Jesus is God. Well, then, God is the first and the last. Can't no man, mere man, be first and the last. So Jesus said, it said to John, I am Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. I am Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He said, I am the beginning and the end. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everything begins with him. Everything does what? Ends with him, says the Lord, which is, which was, and what which is to come. You'll see this phraseology repeated because it's not saying that God has a beginning, end, and all that, but literally history begins with God, history is God, and history will end with God. I hope you understand, get that point there. It says, I, John, who was also am your brother, companion in tribulations and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. So here's the history of the book. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, John is on the Isle of Patmos. John is an interesting character because tradition says they tried to kill him all kind of ways, but John would not die. That'll preach all by itself. they tried to, I believe one history said they tried to boil him in tar, and he still wouldn't die. They did all kind of stuff to him, but John did not die. He died at a good old age, good old age, good old age. And so that's interesting in itself. He said, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Notice some people try to confuse this with the Sabbath day, but this is not talking about the Sabbath day. This is New Covenant. This is New Covenant. This is also dealing with a church that is majority Gentiles at the time. By this time, it's mostly Gentiles and not mostly Jews. So he would not have used Jewish terminology. And so here he said, the Lord's Day, this speaks of on a Sunday. And he then heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. Here Jesus declares that he's God again. Jesus himself is written in red in your Bibles, if you have a Bible like me that have the words of Christ in red. Jesus said, I'm first and last. What thou seest, he said, write in this book. Now, you know they didn't have books like we have today, so it would have been a scroll. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These seven churches in Asia. John is writing a letter to. The Apostle John is writing these letters to. And so he said he's turned to see the voice that spake unto him. Being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, So literally, he said, Son of Man. Now notice John in his gospel, because this is supposed to be St. John, referred to Jesus mostly as the Son of God. Because he, in his gospel, speaks of Jesus according to his divinity. It is Luke who usually refers to Jesus as the Son of Man, speaking towards his humanity. But here in the text, Jesus is declaring that he's God. But here John is also, John refers to him as Son of Man. This is interesting because John usually refers to him as God in flesh. And so here we have an instance where John is literally affirming to us that Jesus was not only God, but he's also man. God-man, the God-man. And he shows that he was a literal person. He wasn't just, as the Jehovah's Witness said, the angel Michael. Even your Seventh-day Adventists teach that to a certain extent, that Jesus was Michael. Okay, it says here, it talks about him. It's mentioned Jesus' garments was down to his foot, just like our chasubles, and not chasubles, excuse me, our cassocks, and our abs go down to our feet. And he said he girded about his paps with a golden girdle, so that's his waist, had a girdle in his head, and his hair was white as wool, and white as snow. His eyes was a flame of fire. That's why many people, when they read this text, they say that Jesus may have been a black man. He was definitely, we do know Jesus was definitely a man of color. He was not lily white because Jews are not white. Some of them are fair-skinned, but they are not white. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And so he tells John, verse 19, write the things which you have seen, things which you are, things which shall be hereafter. And he calls this, and he said, the mystery of the seven stars. And so before we even go even deeper this, because I know I'm not going to be able to finish all in one broadcast with this, is that Revelation is called a mystery. And a mystery is usually something hidden that has to be revealed. And many times when God reveals stuff, he does not reveal stuff in totality. He reveals it in parts, and all that. Before we get to chapter 2, Apostle Green, you want to add something to this particular discussion?
No, not at the moment.
Now, chapter 2 is interesting because we have the preliminary of this book in chapter 1. Chapter 2 is where it gets interesting because those who reject dispensationalism read something else into chapter 2. Chapter 2 to chapter 3, and the totality of chapter 2, chapter 3, deals with the seven churches. Now, let me point something out real quick that some of you probably don't realize, and when you read it, and because you may have heard certain things preached, you missed it. In Revelation 2 and 3, we see the word church. When you get to Revelation chapter 4 to chapter, I believe, 19, if I'm not mistaken, the word church is not mentioned. I said again, read it for yourself. Chapter 2 and 3, we see the word church. Chapter 4 onward, we do not see the word church. Do not see the word church. There's a reason for that. As I get deeper in the discussion, we'll talk about it. Chapter 2. Okay, let me make sure I covered everything real quick before I move on here. Chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2 and 3 deal with church. Chapter 4, verse 1 is interesting because there's a transition here. And the transition in chapter 4 is literally what has caused a lot of heated discussions among those who are what we call pre-trib, mid-trib and post-trib. Now, if you have paid attention to my Facebook page, I addressed that on my Facebook page one day. That in order to, if you got three different groups of people getting pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, that must mean it's evidence of all three must be in there. So it's not one or the other or the other. All three are in there because there's no way to pull it out of there if it's not in there. Unless somebody is reading something to the text. And so that is, because if you look at chapter 4, John said, I was caught up in the Spirit. The word caught up, in the if you look at the word in Thessalonians, it says to be caught up, literally is the word rapturo. That's where people get the word rapture from. In three parts, Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 to Revelation chapter 19, the end in verse of chapter 19, you see one event taking place from three different points of view. If we do this over several period of days, I will show you that there are three points of views where Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, on to Revelation chapter 19 is taking place from. And those three points of view are from heaven, from earth, and from Hades. Hades is what we call hell. So you have three different points of view of what's happening on earth. And then in the middle of those three different points of view, and I'll show you the verses again, it mentioned that there are some who are promised not to see the great tribulation. Those people are taken up. Then you have at the end of that, you see those people that have died being raised up again. So when you study scripture, you have to take scripture from a holistic view. Because if you take it coming from one point of view, then you will miss things that the scripture says because of what you've been hearing me say a lot on the program, what we call confirmation bias. Because of what you perceive the Bible says, and you miss it, and you say, well, I'm only pre-trib, that's it. I'm only mid-trib, that's it. I'm only post-trib. But the Bible is specific about certain things. It mentioned all three of them. And I told you I can show you all of that. Revelation chapter 20 begins, we see another transition. A transition, it starts literally at the end of Revelation chapter 19, and it goes into chapter 20. We see a transition from heaven, the marriage feast that is taking place, back to earth. And we see Jesus defeating the Antichrist and the beast, and that ungodly trinity, so to speak, and throwing them into Hades. Not into Gehenna, not yet, into Hades. There's and locking them into the abyss, the bottomless pit and all that. And he then at the end of all of that, death, hell, and grave are all thrown into Gehenna and all of that. So that's a whole different story. We'll talk about that when we get there. But in chapter 21 and 22, we see the consummation of history as on earth as we know it. We see the world enjoying 1,000 years of blissful peace under the rulership and reign of Jesus Christ with no sin, no dissension. And after that, the Bible mentioned the beast, the beast is allowed to be release, and he will deceive the nations again, the ethnos, the nations again. And he will, because like we said, salvation is not by what you see. Salvation is by what you hear and believe. And so then we see in chapter 22 the old heaven. Make sure I'm right, I'm not ahead of myself. Let me flip there real quick. Make sure, yeah. And so we see in chapter 21, he speaks of a new heaven and a new earth coming that takes the place of this. Some people, that Jehovah's Witness, some Jehovah's Witness, not all of them, some of them, I believe, teach that he will remake this heaven, this earth. But that's not what the scripture said. He said this old heaven and old earth passes away. That's another point to bring out, too, but we'll do it when we get there and all of that, is that there are a lot of people. I heard somebody say one time about, you know, if all I got to look forward to is being in heaven and playing harps, what's that used to go there? It ain't nothing that's going there, but it sounds boring to me. The Bible, we'll get there, we'll talk about that in the scripture, because the Bible said new heaven, new earth, old heaven, old earth passes away. There even will be a new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven and all that. So we see the consummation. So watch this, and I said this, and I'll go back to the church thing and then touch it, and then we'll pick up again on the next broadcast. 21-22, we see God returning things back to Genesis 1 and 2, which means that the earth will revert back to what it should have been in Genesis 1 and 2. We see, just like it started, God going to bring it back and finish it the same way, and then we'll live with him in eternity to be forever with him in the presence of the Lord. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. You got anything you want to add, Apostle Green, before I hit this last little bit in the last 5 minutes?
No, sir.
Okay. Again, the word angel is messenger in the Greek. It's like the apostle. Literally, apostle, messenger, angel. Unto the apostle of the church of Ephesus, the angel. Some people interpret this messenger to be the pastor of the church. And you can do it that way, too, the pastor of the church. If you do it like that, that would mean that he's writing to the bishop of the church in Ephesus. And literally, but you have to remember, though, in John's time, that some of these churches had multiple bishops. So in some of these churches, the bishop literally means the president bishop of that church. And so to the church at Ephesus, then you have, remember, we have the church at Smyrna. We have the church at Pergamos. We have the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, the church at Laodicea. So this is the first church he writes to. And this will probably be the only one we get ready to cover in these last 4 minutes here. The angel to the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, whatever you want to call him, of the church of Ephesus. As a matter of fact, that would actually work with the word apostle because Timothy was an apostle and also a bishop. He says, write these things which he, which holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know your works. I know your labors and your patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou shalt have been tried, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Now, I'm going to stop there, even though this is not what I'm trying to go to and really deal with, but I like to bring that verse up and really hit that verse real quick because a lot of people said, well, the 12 was the only apostles. Now, there's no need for a test for apostles if the 12 was the only apostles. I said it again, because I don't want that to go over anybody's head. There's no need for a test for apostles if the 12 were the only apostles. So in the verse chapter 2, chapter 3 is the church dispensation. And I'm going to talk about it from that point of view. The church dispensation, because it literally describes the type of churches that happened throughout history. Because if you look at the history of the church, you see the whole history of the church in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. You even see the Protestant Reformation. You see when clericalism took over the church and the Nicolaitans, which means Nico means to crush. Laotins means laos, laity. So literally when the power of the laity was crushed and clericalism took over in the church. And matter of fact, I was reading something yesterday, and it mentioned, because I remember I had a discussion online, and somebody said, from one of the ancient churches, said that the priesthood is not a Levitical priesthood, but yet it's still one of the prayers for one of the rites of either deacons or deaconesses mentioned that women did not share in the Levitical ministry. I was like, interesting. But that's just a point just to throw out there. Lord, we got 90 seconds. Let's try to finish it up quick. And has borne and has patience. And the word born, that means persevere. Why are they persevering? Because it's a persecuted church. Has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Even in the first century, in the Ephesus church, you have folks who is leaving their first love. It doesn't take long for heresy to come up in the church. And I have to close with that. It doesn't take long for heresy to come up in the church. Paul mentioned that he went to a place, I think it was Macedonia, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look it up and give you the correct name if that's not it on the next broadcast. He mentioned specifically that before he could even get out of the city good, he had word that false teachers had risen up perverting the doctrine that he is taught. So it's not hard. It's not hard for heresy to come up. It don't take generations for it to pop up. It'll pop up right in the midst of folks who are preaching the truth. Heresy comes up. You left your first. Remember, therefore, from which you have fallen. And repent, he said. Well, repent means to change your mind and do your first work. I have to finish this at another broadcast. God bless you. When it get good, it sure don't take long to lose time. God bless you. Y'all have a great day. We'll pick this up hopefully on tomorrow. You'll listen to the Apostolic Voice.